You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Golden Eagles.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We're going to close out the show with more basketball talk. I know that's all we talked about yesterday on the show, but look, it's that time of the year. NBA basketball is really starting to get exciting. We're about 24 hours away from the trade deadline. And joining us right now to talk about the big moves yesterday and what may be in store tomorrow, we have Jamison Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jamison, great to get you back on today. Thank you.
Oh, not a problem, man. Thanks for having me, as always. Definitely appreciate it.
Yesterday, the NBA talk all shifted from the trade deadline to the shakeup, the major shakeup of the Los Angeles Laker front office. Jeannie Buss throws the axe down, slams it down. Mitch Kupchak, finished. He's worked with the Lakers since 1981. Jim Buss, her brother, no longer in charge of basketball operations. Magic Johnson has the role that he wanted, and now the Lakers bring in Rob Pelinka to handle the general manager spot, which I think is an absolute brilliant move. You have the basketball savviness of Magic Johnson to go along with an expert negotiator like Pelinka, who has outlets throughout the entire NBA. I think the Lakers did very well considering the circumstances yesterday, Jamison.
Oh, they did very well. They had to do what they had to do. Like I said, what I said before we came on, if you're running anything for 4+ years or 5 years and you're getting bad results, you got to change it up. You have to. It just comes a time where, hey, if it ain't working, you got to fix it. You got to figure it out, because whatever currently is going on is not the thing that's not working. So I don't mind it at all. It's kind of a sad day. Mitch Kupchak has been with the team for a very long time, longer than we've been alive. He's been making a lot of basketball decisions and has been a key guy for the organization for a very long time. Of course, people are going to point out the Gasol trade. That's going to be, that's his thing. That's going to be his MO for life. But at the same time, he tied himself up with Jim Buss, and Jim Buss was not getting the job done. And a lot, some unlucky actions took place, some bad decisions, and next thing you have a new regime taking over, and it's time. It's definitely time. I'm a lot higher on Pelinka than a lot of people are. I think he's going to be great for the job. His network and his being on both sides now is a really key aspect of the situation that I'm looking to see going forward. So we'll definitely see what happens. I'm definitely excited for the new regime to take over, and it should be interesting. I think we'll see a lot more aggressive regime than we saw before.
Well, I definitely think Magic Johnson is going to be aggressive, and I know people, at least here in the state of Utah, for some oddball reason, they don't like Magic Johnson, and I don't understand what you listeners are thinking. I mean, this guy was a brilliant basketball player. He's a good human being. I guess it's because he used to wear a jersey that said Lakers on the front of it. But, Jamison, this is a guy that walks on water in Los Angeles. He doesn't need to take this job. In fact, I believe he's putting his own legacy with the newer generation on the line. Those who did not watch him play will really judge him on what kind of a job he does. This is a guy that has a statue outside. He played on the court in the Forum while his number was hanging in the rafters. He won 5 NBA championships, and he is the greatest all-around basketball player to ever live, and I will argue with that on anyone until the day I die. However, if he is not successful in the front office, there's only been one individual that has ever got away with being downright awful in the front office while succeeding as a player, and that was Michael Jordan. Nobody else is on that level. Nobody else has that type of nostalgia around him. Magic is putting himself in a dangerous situation that he didn't have to, which tells me he's going to go all out. He's going to be extremely aggressive.
Well, here's the thing. Magic loves Lakers, so this isn't like a cash grab. Phil Jackson in New York was a cash grab. He took the money because they offered him a crazy amount. They offered him $12 million a year for 5 years, and he wasn't doing anything else, so it's like, why not take it? Magic loves Lakers, and he wants the Lakers to win, and he's also a guy that's going to put people around him. He's not going to be making the decisions by himself. He's going to be talking with people and making decisions based off of who's around him and the information he gets from them and the updated information. So, yes, I think it's a really good move. I think it's a situation to where I think we'll see a lot more movement going forward than we've seen in the last few years. I think we'll see an aggressive front office to try to get this team back to respectability sooner than later. And I also, I do feel that you will see and hear Magic on these free agent presentations and also in these meetings. Because I'll put it this way, if this one took place last summer, best believe that Pelinka and Magic get a meeting with Kevin Durant. I'm not saying he would have been a Laker, because he wouldn't have. He still would have been in Oakland. But they at least get a sit-down meeting. They at least get to, they at least get to talk to him for an hour and a half, 2 hours, get to have lunch with him, pick his brain, see where he's at and whatnot. And those two were very respected. Jim Buss just wasn't respected. People didn't want to waste their time with Jim Buss. And that was the biggest problem in the Lakers front office.
Again, Jamison Walsh, I believe the Hype NBA, our guest right now. The Lakers do move Lou Williams yesterday. He goes to Houston. I think this is a fantastic move for both teams. It's a trade where both teams win. You don't see that too often. The Lakers get their first-round draft pick, which means they're guaranteed at least one pick in the first round and a very deep class, maybe the deepest we have seen in about 10 or so years. On the flip side of that, the Houston Rockets now have the top two leading scorers off the bench on their roster with Lou Williams and Eric Gordon. How much does this move improve Houston?
It looks good on paper, but, Jordan, we know basketball in May and June is about defense. Got to be able to stop people. As good as they are, as good as Lou Williams and Eric Gordon have been this year, and as good as James Harden is, he's probably the MVP of the league right now, you got to play a little defense. You got to be able to stop people. So when that shot isn't going in, and the other team is scoring, then what happens? I like Houston. I actually think Houston ends up in the conference finals this year. I think they're that good. With that being said, you really, really, really have to be careful with this team because they have a lot of defensive liabilities on the court. As good as Eric Gordon has been, he's still like a 6'2.5 shooting guard. You know what I mean? So it's not like he's going to be out there guarding Klay Thompson. Like, that's just not going to, that's not going to work. So we'll see what happens. It's a big move. It's a move that makes their offense even more potent as it already is. But, man, I just think that you still got to play defense, and they gave up one of their better defensive players to do so. You know, and that's the thing. Corey Brewer, his offensive game was shaky, but defensively he brought some intangibles. He made some things happen with him and Ariza on the court. Him and Ariza and Patrick Beverley on the court at the same time is a pretty good lineup, and now losing one of their better defensive wings, it kind of hurts them a little bit. But they're not concerned about defense. D'Antoni doesn't teach defense. It's first to 135 with him. So we'll see how it goes in May. I just think they need a little bit more defense on the perimeter, a little bit more size. But they made a move that, that makes them stronger offensively for sure.
The Utah Jazz are a team that has been mentioned a lot, believe it or not, as far as the trade deadline goes. There was a rumor circulating that Deron Williams could potentially be returning to Utah. I haven't found anything to validate that rumor as of now. I mean, I'm not saying it's not going to, it can't happen. I just don't believe it will. There's also the rumor of Andrew Bogut. That's a lot of roster redundancy, I think, if you bring in Andrew Bogut. But a guy that is mentioned once again in trade talks is a guy you and I have had a lot of talk about over the last 3 to 4 years. Derek Favors. There was once a time when Derek Favors and Alec Burks were both viewed as very valuable trade pieces. The Jazz had an opportunity to move both of them and maybe even grab a top pick. They didn't do it. Now the trade value for both of those continue to dwindle. Is this the deadline where Derek Favors is moved? I know Phoenix has interest in him. I don't know what they give up. I don't know if Utah improves. They're in a weird situation, Jamison, because they're a 50-win team. Right now, they're on pace to get to 50 wins. The only way you improve a 50-win team at the trade deadline is by giving up a piece.
It depends what you get back, because I'll put it this way. If you can get something back for them, like, for instance, if Phoenix is crazy enough to give up Marquese Chris for Favors and Burks, then, yeah, you take the chance and you go from there, because Marquese Chris is really good. I don't know if that's the deal on the table that's going to happen. But if you have a deal like that, then yeah, you do it. Like, that's just, you just do it and figure out the rest later. With that being said, I don't know. I don't think that's the deal on the table. I don't know what Phoenix is really offering. I know that's been a rumored situation. But it just really depends on what you get back, what you can get back. If you're getting back cap relief, then no, you just keep the team you have, make this run and see how far you can get. The only problem with the Jazz is they're probably either going to be a 4, 5, or 6 seed out west. And the teams they're going to be playing against are probably going to be the Clippers or Memphis. And both, they don't match up well with either of those teams. So, that's their biggest issue, is they don't match up with the teams they're going to be playing with in the playoffs. So if you want to make a move to kind of create a different matchup, I would understand that. But as of right now, they look like a team that's going to be one and done in the playoffs unless they make a big, big move. And I don't think you do that when you have Gordon Hayward being a free agent this summer. So we'll see what happens. I think they'll probably end up standing pat, though. The Jazz usually don't make any moves at the deadline, any big moves anyway. So we'll see what happens. And they have a nice young core. I'd like to see what happens if Trey Lyles gets some more playing time, though. If he was playing starters minutes, I'd like to see exactly what would happen over a period of time. But for right now, they have a good situation going on. They have a young team that's trying to take that next step. But again, you really don't want to make a move in the middle of the season unless it's a home run type of move.
Last question before I let you go. Who's the biggest name that gets moved between now and tomorrow?
It's a great question. It won't be Melo. He has a trade. He has a no trade clause. I keep hearing Jimmy Butler. Like Jimmy Butler might get moved. I keep hearing that. But I don't think we hear any big moves. I think the biggest name we may hear is like a Shabazz Muhammad or something like that. And there'll be a lot of minor moves. I don't see any big names getting moved. Well, I take that back. Derrick Rose is technically still a big name. So I see the Knicks moving him for Rubio in pieces. So Derrick Rose will be the biggest name technically moved.
Jamison Welsh, Believe the Hype, NBA.com. I definitely appreciate you taking the time to join us. Let the listeners know where they can find more of your work and content.
Believe the Hype, NBA.com. Radio everywhere this time of year out here in Vegas on 1340 AM and also ESPN 1100, 1340 Fox Sports New Mexico. Course with you, and of course ESPN, I believe it's 1480 in Nebraska. So yes, everywhere around this time of year, it's fun time. College tournament's coming up. Vegas 16 tournament hopefully is coming back. A lot of good basketball, a lot of good events, boxing around the corner, NASCAR, NBA playoffs, opening day in baseball. Great time of the year.
Definitely. Jamison, thank you. We'll talk again next week.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always.
Again, that's Jamison Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com helping us wrap up this edition of the show. Tomorrow, we're going to be live at the Sevier Valley Center in Richfield. Tip-off for the Emory High School Boys Contest is set to begin at about 2:30. We'll bring you live pregame coverage beginning around 2, and then we'll have coverage, postgame coverage, throughout Drive Time Sports tomorrow. So we got about a 3-hour broadcast coming your way right here on 107.3 FM, 750 AM. I will catch you tomorrow. I am out.